Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively post-draft, and we're going to have plenty to say about everything going on in Owings Mills as Eric Costa and John Harbaugh welcome a whole bunch of baby birds out. But there are baby birds of the orange variety flying about here as we enter May. I don't know where the timetable is on these Oriole players. I know the team kind of stinks, and they won a couple of games, and it looks like the Red Sox stink, by the way, over the weekend a bit. Luke Jones was trying to monitor things at Oriole Park at Camden Yards amidst a flurry of purple activity out in the castle this weekend, the biggest weekend of the year, really, for the football team. But the baseball team also making some announcements, and at this point, when it comes to minor league positioning and movement and where Adley Rutschman is and where DL Hall is and where Grayson Rodriguez might be is of prime significance, maybe more so than who's playing shortstop tonight.
Yeah, I think so. And they've been in that territory for a while now. It's just now you're at a point where you're starting to see some of their biggest and brightest prospects get closer. You know, you really are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's not to say that light is going to be instant contending and making the playoffs, but feeling like it's getting to that territory where things are mattering a little more at the major league level. I mean, Friday night, we saw Kyle Bradish make his major league debut, logged a quality start, you know, did okay. Wasn't unbelievably dominant or anything like that, but he pitched well. So you like seeing that as opposed to what we saw last year with, you know, I guess we're, for lack of a better term, at the end of this current wave of these mid-20s pitchers. And Bradish, you know, is in his mid-20s. He's not DL Hall or Grayson Rodriguez, but he was the best pitcher acquired in that Dylan Bundy trade a couple off seasons ago, and he did a nice job, as opposed to seeing guys last year like Dean Kramer and Keegan Aiken and some others really, really struggle.
Well, so, you'd say there are guys that are major league pitchers, guys that used to be major league pitchers, and then guys that never should have been. You know what I mean? And there's some of these guys that you give them that chance and their ERA's 8 and they go back out and they take the ball again and again. It just not meant to be. And chasing the Matt Harveys is one thing. A guy that can be a weigh-in Shen or a Miguel Gonzalez, a guy that could be a 3-4 year back end, middle end of a rotation with a 500 team in 2024. I don't know. You know, I'm making that up at this point. But if that's what they're looking for, that he'll be in the rotation in June of 2024 and be an effective guy they can. I don't even know if it means anything to say give him the ball every 5 days, given the way these guys pitch at this point. But you know what I mean, for the old guy in me.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, yeah, you want Grayson Rodriguez to be your ace. You want DL Hall to be your co-ace or your number two starter, but you still have to fill out other spots, right? Even the best teams don't have all superstars. They have some superstars and they have good players and they have role players and everyone fills their role. And so with Kyle Bradish, I mean, it was good to see him pitch the way he did in his major league debut. You know, was competitive. You know, was someone who didn't look like he was in over his head, as we mentioned, with some right off all those guys. But again, you need to show something to your point to want the team to want to continue to give you the ball every 5 days or every 6 days, you know, whatever it ends up being, knowing how
you're
trying to
manage.
Or
leave you in the bullpen when the thing's on fire in the sixth inning to, hey man, you're a major league pitcher. Sure. You can get us six outs. You can get us four outs. You can get us an out if you're left-hander, right? Or two,
no
or
doubt,
three at this point.
And we're seeing that become more valuable as well as the game is changing. You're not looking. Look, in a perfect world, would you love to have a 7-inning starter going out there every day? Sure. Do most teams have that at this point? No. So you need more of those relievers, you know, balk pitchers, long relievers, however you want to categorize them. And we've seen guys like Keegan Aiken do well in that role early on this season. But, you know, it was nice to see Bradish. But the big news, going back to what you were saying at the beginning of our conversation, DL Hall, and specifically Adley Rutschman moving up to Bowie this week. Rutschman, of course, on his rehab stint. DL Hall, it's kind of sort of rehab stint for him. I mean, it's development. Obviously, he missed most of last or all the second half of last season with that stress reaction in his elbow. But after both get a little bit of time at Aberdeen, which you would expect them to do well there, both of those guys had already graduated from that level. So, you know, they move on to Bowie. I think with Rutschman, it's very clearly just a matter of when. You do want to give him at-bats. Keep in mind, he got hurt at the very beginning of Major League, you know, right before Major League spring training started. So that ended any chance of him going north for opening day. But you want to give him some at-bats. You know, he got his feet wet at Aberdeen. He'll get some at-bats at Bowie. I would assume they'll have him play some games at Norfolk. And then, you know, at some point this month, I'm fully expecting Adley Rutschman's going to make his Major League debut. And it's going to be their starting catcher. And you hope he looks as good as he's looked in the minor leagues, which is really, really special. And, you know, the impact he can have behind the plate for some of these young pitchers. So,
what a month we're going to have here, Lucas, right? I mean, we got draft, we've got Preakness, we've got the NFL schedule coming next Thursday, maybe an international game this week, although I know nobody in Owings Mills wants that. But this would be a building block for them as they try to sell tickets and they try to discount tickets and they're trying to get anybody and anything to come to the ballpark. And they had some people show up over the weekend. It looked like maybe more than certainly last week, but make it a destination that if they're going to call him up on May the 20th, whatever, that we're going to have that Matt Wieters moment, maybe a rainbow and a double off the wall.
I mean, shame on you if you don't try to create that. I mean, that was one thing that bugged me about the Bradish news. Mike Elias had spoken the day before. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember the exact timeline, but he had only acknowledged that Bradish was a candidate to start over the weekend. And I understand if you don't know for sure if he was going to start Friday or Saturday, but why not make the announcement that, hey, okay, we don't want to lie to anyone. We're not sure yet if it's going to be Friday or Saturday. We need to see how our pitching and our bullpen shakes out the next couple of days. And that's legitimate. I mean, that's totally legitimate.
Well, that's the same thing they're telling his family if they want to fly in and watch him pitch, right?
But that to me, and look, Kyle Bradish, we're not talking about a top 100 prospect in baseball, so I don't want to make it out to be like it's Adley Rutschman or like it will be Grayson Rodriguez or DL Hall when the time comes for them. But sell it a little bit. I mean, this is something for fans to come out and be excited about. So I was a little disappointed.
I remember the night Curt Schilling made his major league debut. You know, I didn't know I would go on to DJ his wedding and he'd marry my friend and like all that. But I remember my dad saying, "Oh, we got this kid in the Boddicker deal. We got to go see him pitch." You know, like that's been a part of baseball and being a baseball fan is from the time Ben McDonald walked in the bullpen gate back in 1989. And I'm down in Ocean City with John Raffalitis eating a steak and looking up and saying, "We got to go over to the television," because that's the way it is. And for all of these guys, if you want to build something, get me interested in wondering whether Bradish is spelled with two D's or one, or whether it's a T. Like or kind of Brad, I was in Dundalk as a kid.
Or whether it's Kyle Bradish, right? I mean, that was something I wondered when they first acquired him. But no, I mean, you're in the business right now of rebuilding and playing for the future. And we know how brutal it's been to watch at the major league level. There's no sugarcoating that. I mean, even people that are fully built, they have fully bought in, understand how brutal it's been to watch on a nightly basis at the major league level. So you're selling hope. So when you have someone who has a chance to be a meaningful part of that hope in that future, tell people, let them know. And I mean, I think back, you mentioned Ben McDonald. I think back to Andy McPhail being on Masson announcing that Matt Wieters was going to make his debut. What was it? 2 or 3 days later. That was really smart. And they had a great crowd, had great crowds that whole weekend for that. So I certainly hope, even if you didn't do that for Bradish. And again, Bradish isn't a slam dunk elite prospect by any means, but for Adley Rutschman, shame on the Orioles if they don't give fans a few days notice to say this is when it's going to happen, because at some point in time, that's when you have to remember this is an entertainment business. Inherently, guys throwing and hitting the ball, same thing in the NFL, same thing in the NBA. Inherently, guys with these skills have no value if no one wants to come watch.
Make me care. Yeah. Make me love you.
Right. So
this isn't hard. I'm from Baltimore. Make sure I want to love you.
So make sure you do that. And to their credit, you mentioned, you know, they've had some decent crowds because, you know, they've done the 1992 pricing. They extended that. That's great. My only point of contention there is you should have been doing that 3 years ago. I mean, just think how much of a better place you might be in from an interest standpoint. And look, I'm not saying that doing that means you're going to sell out the ballpark when you've lost 110 games or more. What, you know, three of the last four seasons, you know, the last three full seasons, they've been in 108 losses or more. But when you make your product, cheaper, more affordable, more economical, more flexibility with some of these ticket packages, it does allow people to say, you know what, that's not bad. And I kind of like the fact that they're doing that, and I'll go check it out. And, I'll check out the center field bar, or, they've done some of these different things that you can, bring a group and have a suite for a game. And it's actually not an insane price to do it. They've done some things like that quietly that I think have been some good ideas. Problem is, it just hasn't been enough. And, 2019, obviously the pandemic year, they didn't have any fans. And last year was, kind of that in between with the pandemic, but, it's good to see them do a little bit of that stuff. But certainly as we're getting closer here to Adley Rutschman's debut and, Grayson Rodriguez, I don't think that's imminent, but at the same time, you see how he's pitched at Norfolk. I don't necessarily think it's going to be until August either. So for those guys, certainly communicate with your fans. And I
communicate with your fans, dude. You've had a press pass that I haven't had for 16 years. You've been down there sniffing around. They've thrown me out.
No,
right?
I understand.
Communicate with your fans is not something that they're particularly good at. I mean, that's how I get on the wrong side of them for being honest and saying, you don't communicate with your, I'm out in the sticks. I can't get the games. They don't allow you to get the games on your mobile app. So I like communicating with their fans. They don't even get their product to people. So they don't even market in the off season. So expecting somebody in there to have a pulse, this is the guy they want to put on the wall. I mean, last week it was Adam Jones, who was on the wall for 10 years, and persona non grata, at least he feels that way enough to be flippant, which isn't out of his personality, but it is also not out of their personality to screw things up with former players. So to think that they're going to like let everybody know on the 27th as they're going into Boston and they're going to be 18-31 or whatever it's going to be by the time they get there, that they would say, hey, on the 31st, the Mariners are in and we're bringing them out. That's a Tuesday, the 31st. Or the other homestand, and this would sort of up the circus, because I know you don't know much about horse racing, but Baffert's not coming this year, Luke.
Right.
So, I'm going to maybe try to talk to him about that, but the Yankees are in on Monday the 16th. It's the beginning of Preakness week. They're playing the Yankees. But that sounds like 2 weeks from now. Boy, that sounds expedited, right? It sounds like the baby's premature. If it, at some point, this whole Rutschman thing, it's like taking so long, the pipeline, from a fan standpoint, that it feels like, what difference does it make if it's May 16th or May 31st for his seasoning or whatever? But this is about starting his clock and the new math of the new CBA and like all of that, that I quite frankly, I shouldn't say I don't care about it because I'm a journalist, but I don't care about it. I mean, they're going to bring them up whenever they bring them up. It's going to suit them. And to your point, the least they could do is conduct the orchestra here and have me and my wife maybe want to get a ticket and go down there, because there'll be some people and it'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I'm not saying this has to be anything elaborate, just a couple days ahead of time. Hey, this is when we're calling him up. He's going to complete. And look, he's at Bowie this week. He spent a week at Aberdeen, which is high A now. Keep in mind, it's not Frederick. Aberdeen is now their high A level. So he's at Bowie this week, assuming everything goes okay and he feels good and he's getting, having good at bats and has a little bit of statistical success. Although I don't think that part is quite as important now, because keep in mind, this is a rehab assignment. This isn't finishing his development. He missed time with a triceps issue back in spring training. So that's what this is about. So I think it's perfectly reasonable now, looking at the calendar, saying, okay, he's at Bowie this week. Orioles are back on the road following, this weekend. He goes to Norfolk next week. And then, they start another homestand, as you mentioned, May 16th. I think it happens at some point over that. And if you're really want to be marketable about this and think about this, why not announce it Tuesday or Wednesday that he's going to make his major league debut that Friday night? And then you have a chance for, you can clean up and not saying necessarily sell out the ballpark, but have really, really good numbers over those 3 days and sell hope. And that's all they've been able to sell over the last few years, whether they've done a good job of doing that or not. That's all they've had to sell. So when your marquee guy, the consensus, either best or second best prospect in baseball, depending on who you talk to, it finally makes his way to Camden Yards. let people know.
Who's
so
the
they
other
have a
prospect
chance
to... that is being compared to
you're
is there another
on this.
There's another 1-1? Is there, I mean, is there another 1-1 in waiting? Because they be in waiting because they don't want to start anybody's clock anywhere. Ever.
Well, I'm going off of the offseason list, and I'm guessing Bobby Witt Jr., who of course has made his debut. I'm guessing you put me on the spot there. The point is,
he's next in line.
He's right there. He's the cream of the crop. He's 24 now. He has nothing left to prove in the minor leagues. I'm fine with this. You know, it's not as though I don't think that they're dragging their feet now. He needs at bats, and you're trying to get him. This is his spring training now, so I have no problem with that. But
there's never been any doubt that he was coming up in May of 22 in their mind, right?
It was going right. I mean, the question was going to be, and because of the new CBA rules, where they're, you know, rookie of the year and all that with service time, you know, potential, if you finish first or second, you get a full year of service time, even if you're caught up in June. And on the flip side, there's some incentives for teams to get picks. If you have a guy up on opening day, you know, there was a good chance he was going to be here on opening day. I'm not saying 100%. I think it was, you know, depending on who you talk to, and just where they were from a roster standpoint, where he was over the spring, but
that was just eliminated by itself. Right? There's no argument about that.
Right. I mean, the injury happened, and then it was like, okay, now we don't need to rush him. We don't have to make a decision we don't want to make, all that. So, but at this point, he's getting at bats. He's looked good. You know, looked really good at Aberdeen. You know, he'll be at Bowie. And like I said, I assume when they go back out on the road, he'll be in Norfolk. And then when they come back, he makes his major league debut. Just a matter of when. Is it the 16th? Is it the 18th? Is it the, you know, I hope it's not May 21st because that's my niece's birthday party. She turns one.
This kind of reminds me of like when your sister was pregnant. I don't know what day it's coming. Whatever day it's coming, I'm off and we don't know. And
but whenever it comes, and to your point, you at this stage, it doesn't really matter if it's May 16th or May 29th or whatever. You know it's coming very, very soon.
Well, I know Bob Baffert's not coming. I know that much.
Sure. And, you know, to your point, is it a consideration to have it not clash with Preakness? I don't think that crosses anyone's mind. And the same way that the NFL doesn't.
Sort of upstaging it say Yankees and Rutschman are in town all week. We're going to talk baseball here during Preakness week.
Yeah,
that's the way they should be thinking.
that's the way the NFL thinks. I mean, look at the NFL. That what they're going to put three games on Christmas this year. I mean, the NBA has owned Christmas for a long time. Not anymore. You know, at least not in a year where Christmas is going to fall on a Sunday. So, you know, I think it's exciting. And you have a guy who was 1-1 a few years back, and the pandemic delayed. You know, made things weird. You know, he didn't get to have a minor league season in 2020 when he would have gotten most of his seasoning. So it's made things strange on that front. But he's 24. He's ready. I mean, it's just a matter of getting him some at-bats here to get his timing and get his clock going because he didn't have that in the spring. But he's ready, and we're going to see him.
It's the first time we've talked about this. Like, he's really coming. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're making the baby, Luke, finally. You know, it's like, I've known how to spell the guy's name for, like, feels like 10 years now, with the T and the S and the C and the H, right?
Well, and part of that's just the pandemic just changed time in general, not baseball, just in general. It's been like a 2-year time warp. But
I don't know. I keep running into people that tell me that I don't age at all. So
your hair is a little longer though. I'll say that, but no, I mean, it's exciting. And does it mean the Orioles are going to suddenly become better overnight? No, it probably not, but it's exciting to see a talent of his caliber. Everyone talks about his leadership, you know, the qualities that he has that, you know, go beyond just what the numbers he puts up. And the pitchers have talked about this, you know, guys who have worked with him at the minor league level and speak so glowingly of him as a receiver back there, as like calling games and all those different things. So he has a chance to really transcend. You know, I think it'd be unfair to compare anyone to the effect Lamar Jackson had when he stepped on the field for the Ravens and looking how they became a different team overnight. It's not going to be that dramatic by any stretch, but I do think Adley Rutschman, using the, you know, a loose quarterback comparison, you know, different sports, of course, baseball's more individualized matchups on a given, you know, every given pitch and play. But, you know, this is a guy who has a chance to really transform things and change your culture and really start to say, okay, you know, I'm here now. And he's not cocky, but everyone talks about him. He's confident. You know, he has conviction in how he handles himself. But, you know, he arrives, you're going to get the sense that expectations will be changing pretty rapidly after that for these young guys, where it's just going to be like, hey, scholarship time's over. You know, we've lost a lot, and I'm not saying we're going to win immediately, but, you know, Ali Rutschman arrives. That's when things, you know, the tone changes at that point.
You know who's got to be tired of losing? Brandon Hyde.
No doubt about it. I can't even begin to tell you, and not that he'd say it on the record, but anytime he's been asked about Ali Rutschman over the last year or so, and he's not asked about him frequently, but when he's asked, you know, you can see there's a little gleam in his eye, you know, a little sparkle in his eye to knowing, especially him. Keep in mind, he was a minor league catcher. So, you know, this is a guy who certainly appreciates what Ali Rutschman can bring to the table, and, you know, just knowing what he can do and help with these pitchers, guy that you're going to put in the middle of your lineup or near the top of your lineup. And, you know, he's you're hoping he's going to be everything Matt Wieters was supposed to be. And Matt Wieters had a really good career, but didn't live up to, what was it? I think Adam Jones called him Jesus in cleats or something like that. Wasn't quite that, but Ali Rutschman, you know, a guy who even more highly regarded as a prospect coming out of college. You know, if he can be that guy, then you'd like to think fortunes can turn here sooner rather than later and at least start seeing this thing very clearly moving in a better direction.
The last time I had a press pass in a real Oriole locker room was at Yankee Stadium, in the new Yankee Stadium. So you tell me when that was, 2009, 10, whatever it was.
Yeah, 9.
And that was the year Wieters came up, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Because yes. I went up, I introduced myself in the Yankee locker, well, in the locker room in Yankee Stadium. He wasn't in the Yankee locker room yet. So that was the last time I walked in a locker room that was like an actual Oriole locker room. So I thought I was meeting Jesus in cleats. I just didn't realize I was meeting Matt Wieters. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He'll be covering all things Orioles, all things Ravens. I will be covering all things horse racing and World Cup. We're doing a lot of World Cup coverage this week. You know, at some point, I'm going to ask you if you understand what a big deal this is. Do you?
Oh, I understand how big of a deal it is. I'm not going to lie and say that I personally am excited about it. And would I go to the World Cup match? Probably not.
You know who's going to go? Your niece.
Right. I mean, but it is a big deal. It's a big deal. Hey, anything that comes to Baltimore that's a big deal, that's awesome. I mean, that's totally awesome.
No, this isn't a big deal. This isn't like a Billy Joel concert or a
massive.
This is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of the city since the football team got here. Like, there's nothing else to even give it second place if we're talking about playing 6 to 8 World Cup games in the Inner Harbor.
Sure.
I mean, that's an incredible thing over the course of a month.
No
that's
question about
bigger
it.
Bigger than a Super Bowl would be here by far, because you've been to a dozen Super Bowls. You know that it's a little bit of a ruse that people show up Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's a week-long celebrate. Yeah, okay. I've gone to a lot of them. It's more like a 3-day bender is more what it's like.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'd love to see it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I personally have a ton of interest in the World Cup. And look, I watch some of it. I watch some of it every 4 years.
All I'm trying to do is try to let people know that this isn't just like a big deal, that it's like likely to happen now. I think the difference last week with the combined bids and the reason DC would not be left out because they're the nation's capital, that if your thought is, well, they can't leave DC out, it's the nation's capital, then your thought then is we're getting the games. And it like one following the other, it took me a whole weekend to sort of clean my ears out on that. A little bit like Hollywood Brown, like the Hollywood Brown thing happened. And I'm like, I need a little bit of time to figure out what the hell just happened there and what they're trying to do. And we're still trying to figure out, and you're going to be beating them up about wide receiver. But this World Cup thing, it's such a monstrous thing for Baltimore that I want people to be at least a little excited about it and at least a little disappointed if it doesn't happen. Like, because I wasn't even going to be disappointed if it didn't happen as of 2 weeks ago, because I never really thought it could legitimately happen. You know, it's like getting the Ravens here was not something I never thought we were getting a team. Like, I literally, even when I sat there with champagne at Bohagers and they were giving the team to Jacksonville, there was never a moment in any of it that I thought we were getting a football team. Even when the team got here, it took me a year or two. Like, literally, sitting out at the barn when Rod Woodson walked in, for me to say, like, shit, we're in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, I like the World Cup thing would be a little bit like that for me, that like, if this happens and I'm in New York on a bender with Grant Wall and running around in some Baltimore City sweatshirt that Brandon Scott gives me or whatever, Sean Stinnett will give me something nice, but it would be the biggest Baltimore Pride sports thing ever. And then there's 4 years of buildup for it. And I think people like you and your mother and your sister and her, like, by the time it gets here, you'll come down here and sniff around for a Portugal game, and your niece will be six years old at that time, 7 years old. It's going to be a different thing for people here. And, you know, Grant Wall said something to me, and Steve Goff, they both alluded to this last week. You're an old fart. I mean, you're not even 40 yet, right? Are you 40 yet? You're not 40 yet.
No, I'll be 39 in October.
So you're different than me because I'm an old fart and even skew older. But like soccer, you never got it. Your brother doesn't get it. You're more into wrestling, baseball, traditional stuff your father liked in Baltimore back in the 70s. And for the kids today, soccer, and I had Carl Delmon on up at Greenmount Station a couple weeks ago. Your niece will never think soccer's not cool. Soccer will always be cool for your niece. Like lacrosse is cool here or whatever. That this is soccer's big chance. For all the old guys like me, they're too slow. He'll score like all that. I didn't play it. But I think this is a different thing for America. And I think it'll be a different thing for Baltimore. I really do. I think it's a big deal.
I think that's awesome, man. You know, thank Jack Kent Cooke way back when for building a lousy stadium and the Washington Commanders for not having a good stadium. And, you know, we don't want to get into the politics of public stadia and all that.
I said to Steve Goff, I said,
thank goodness
all
for
these
that
years, you've been screwing us, DC, screwing us. Finally, you need us. You need us. So that would be the ultimate in 2026 to have games here that DC needed us for me. Luke is doing baseball. He's doing football. I'm doing a little football. I'm doing a little soccer. I'm doing a little politics. I'm doing a lot of crab cakes. We're going to be out at Conrad's on Friday having a fantastic wise conversation. Rob Santoni is going to join us. It's all part of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries and our pals at Window Nation. We have a new sponsor here. Make sure you're supporting Window Nation. If you're in the market for windows, I'll be telling you all about replacement. They're trying to teach me. It's been a long time since I had to buy windows. So, and the best part is I wasn't even sticker shocked, because Window Nation made it affordable. So go out to windownation.com. I'll be telling you a ton about it. I am Esther. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive, like getting the World Cup in 2026.